The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
A little programming update. The show has changed a little bit. Seth Rollins is going to join us at 3:15. That's right. Seth F. Rollins.
Freaking.
I was going to let, you know, like a little theater of the mind.
Gotcha. I went. What happened was I was reading Wikipedia. So here's the question. If CM Punk really doesn't like when we read Wikipedia, how does Seth Rollins feel about it? He might like it. He might think it's totally fine.
Here's my thing.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, right, Punk, but Seth might be cool with it then.
I think that we should probably move over to being a Seth Rollins show.
I didn't know we had to declare.
When it comes to Punk and Rollins, you kind of have to. And I think that we should move towards being a Seth Rollins show.
You couldn't have the hat with like
the Jesse hat? You can just say it. The one that Jesse Rogers wore?
It's a Ray Rayner hat. Jesse was doing the Ray Rayner thing.
Oof, that's an old reference.
I just want to be honest.
I mean, it's inappropriate, even if it is both teams, as someone who is going into the clubhouse to cover the teams.
Was he wearing the hat?
Ray Rayner.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, it's also an old reference.
Well, where did Ray Rayner get it from?
Jesse.
Jesse's grandfather. Yeah, I didn't realize Jesse wore it into the...
Yeah,
it's not good.
No. It's not.
Yeah.
I saw Jesse last week at Sox Fest.
Yeah,
I saw Jesse.
I saw him at the Cubs convention. Before that, last time I saw him, he was in a bar with the guy who almost broke Mookie Betts' hand.
Which is ridiculous. Stupid. But yeah, I feel like we should probably, because here's the calculus of it.
Okay.
I like both guys. Both guys don't necessarily like each other, but I like both guys. And with Seth, you also get maybe Becky coming along for the ride. His wife, Becky Lynch, a.k.a. The Man.
And Seth is a big Bears fan. This is the underpin for why we're talking
to
him.
So is Punk. Like, he's also, but he's probably more, he's more branded with the Hawks than he is the Bears. And I think Seth is more branded with the Bears than any other team.
I think you're just trying to start beef. That's what I think. You think you've wanted to be inside a wrestling beef your whole life?
I've been inside wrestling beef.
And now this is your chance. So
I just think that it might be a point where we have to choose. And I think we should choose Seth.
All right. Well, noted. We have a few more texts on the topic that we were discussing of if you have been out on the Bulls and the Blackhawks and what that has meant to you and how it might affect your life and your kid's life. Here's one. Sox, Bulls, and Hawks fan. I haven't tuned into the network one time because it's not offered. As a father of a 7-year-old, it will no doubt affect his future fandom. Not once. That's a guy who's a fan of all three teams.
Yeah, but think about this, though. I agree that there's the possibility for long-term damage. The only thing that would be needed, and it's a really difficult thing, to reverse that would be someone being good or even a little good, people would be interested.
We just lived it with the Hawks. I mean, they were a massive draw during their dynasty after being the most dormant Chicago sports franchise of all time. Before the old man died.
It's also just such a commitment. I mean, the NBA itself is over here talking about how they think that the commitment to you watching one game is too long. And then with baseball, you double the amount of games that you're talking about with hockey and basketball. It's a commitment. And what people are figuring out is there are other ways for them to spend their time. And this is why I brought up to you when we were talking about yesterday, the idea of enticement of the White Sox doing Sox Fest Live last week and it being different, or the Cubs introducing the yard. Hey, we got this cool thing over here to try and make it so that you are growing the next generation of fans.
This texture says, actually, guys, it feels kind of liberating. And another one, I'm a full-on Skip. Also, another guy named Full-On Skip. Now I get to spend a lot more time with my wife watching shows together. Look at that. So this is bringing marriages together. Divorce rate going to go down this year thanks to this. Maybe. Here's one. I live in Crystal Lake and I won't use cable. All right, let's pause there for a second.
Sir, you have been fighting that war for 35, 40 years. Uh-huh. I don't know if it has anything to do with the Blackhawks, Bulls, or White Sox.
Mr. Kaczynski, you might want to leave the bunker. I don't know. He said, I bought an antenna for Bears games. CHSN doesn't even reach out here. I refuse to pay to watch my team lose. See, that's it. That's the timing issue right there. Refusing to pay because the team is losing. So what am I doing? If we start to win, these dynamics will change.
For all of you people that continue to text us about, what about the antenna people? Yeah, you're represented in the people who are watching the Bulls and the Blackhawks. Okay? Mm-hmm. No one's forgotten about you. You know, we get that you did a little trick and you've got an antenna and you're better than everyone else. But we haven't forgotten about you. You're represented in the polling.
They're not going after you, the antenna people.
It's just like, you guys failed to bring up the antenna people. No, you're represented in the people who watch the games.
You really got triggered by the antenna people.
Come on, man.
Is that the version? I'll tell you what nobody else is talking about.
The McCaskies.
McClaskies. Please.
That's what they're not talking about. You know,
by the way, it's lingering for me. I come out of this entire Bears Ben Johnson thing.
Shout out to the Cranberries.
I feel pretty good. I feel real good about Ben Johnson. I feel better about Ryan Poles because Ben Johnson is sold on Ryan Poles and they're going to have some alignment. I feel pretty good about Kevin Warren and the job that he just did in this particular thing. I don't feel good about George. I'm still angry at George.
Because of the Joe Buck thing?
It's the Joe Buck sideswipe that is leaving a mark because we're going to talk to Olin later today. It's the same thing as like, I would take everything Olin says with a grain of salt. Like, what a sad, bitter little part of yourself to have exposed two big press conferences in a row.
Well, then you're really going to enjoy our next segment because Seth Rollins fancies himself as someone who enjoys play-by-play and color analysis in the NFL. So you can ask him how he feels about Joe Buck. I know he feels very strongly about Greg Olsen.
Oh, does he really?
He feels similarly to how we feel about Greg Olsen.
You're scared me. Is he not a Buck guy?
I don't know.
I'll find out.
I haven't seen anything with him specifically on Buck, but I imagine he has an opinion.
Okay, I bet he's got an opinion on George as well, if he's a Bears fan.
Well, he might not want to share that. Like, he's not, you know,
how good were his seats last time?
Very good. Okay. He's right. He fell onto the field. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Seth F. Rollins is going to join us here on The Score.
The visionary has arrived. Seth freaking Rollins with his eyes on the prize immediately.
Seth Rollins was somewhat of a prodigy. He was one of those guys that just kind of naturally took to the athletic part of it.
This is the moment for Seth.
Another stop by Rollins.
He was a puppy with big paws. He was having top level matches way earlier than he should.
In life, we can't focus on the things we don't have. We've got to focus on the things that we do have. And what I do have is the same thing I've always had. My first love, my last love, this.
Seth firing himself in the WWE Universe up. The forward dive to the Miz.
He got him
by Rollins. Hooks the leg. Seth Rollins wins the Intercontinental title.
And as long as I've got this ring under my feet and this microphone in my hand and this fire in my eyes, I can stand here and tell you I'm gonna go to Phoenix this Sunday and I'm gonna win the Royal Rumble match.
Seth Rollins has won the Royal Rumble match.
So I wanted to keep him because I thought he's gonna be one of the guys in the business sooner or later.
First time in WrestleMania history, so it's Cassidy by the bay and walking out. Seth the Rollins. WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
And that man is the man, Seth freaking Rollins!
For the second time in his career, Seth Rollins has shocked the world! Seth Rollins is the Universal Champion!
I am still here on my show, Monday Night Rollins, baby!
Spiegel and Holmes. Burn it down! Afternoons on The Score.
This is exciting. Joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is Seth freaking Rollins. He's money in the bank all the time. Joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Seth, thanks so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it.
What's going on, boys? Thanks for having me.
Well, we want to talk a little Bears with you, if that's all right. Like, how are you feeling about the changes that the Bears have had?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very good. I mean, obviously, this season was a car crash. There's really no other way to put it. It was a car crash. Expectations high going into the season when you draft quarterback number one overall. You know, you bring in Roma Dunze as well, Keenan Allen, new offense, and Shane Waldron, and everything went up in smoke so fast. It was another season that was done before December for Bears fans. So looking at the offseason and the moves and the coaching changes, I love Ben Johnson. He was the hire everybody wanted. He's the guy I wanted. And Dennis Allen as a DC is a very welcome surprise. I'm excited about that. So, you know, it seems like we got the staff in place. Now it's time to go out and hopefully be excited about performance as opposed to potential.
Listen to the depth of Bears knowledge on Seth Rollins. It's the real deal. So the emotion that people see out of you in the ring and in your life as a wrestler, do you have that during games? Are you an insane, you know, active, energetic meatball during football games?
Yeah, you'd have to ask my wife about that. It's quite a problem. Yeah, it's quite a problem. Yeah, it's
what are we talking about? Have you broken things? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably been some objects thrown, you know, lots of curse words. As a Bears fan, as you know, lots of curse words, lots of yelling, shaking your head, stomping. You know, my daughter's 4 years old. She doesn't quite understand it yet. I'm slowly indoctrinating her into this fandom, unfortunately. And she gets very scared of Daddy when he watches his football. Daddy, I don't like it. I don't like when you watch your football. Daddy loves football. So she gets it, that part of it. But yeah, it's an adventure watching me watch the game, I would say, for sure.
What's the cultural exchange been like with you and Becky? Like, was she open to American football, and did she maybe get you into soccer?
No, she doesn't like soccer at all. She's not a sports gal at all. She likes the excitement, right? So, like, she likes the excitement and the buzz of sports, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, whatever. And she likes the, you know, she likes to root for underdogs. You know, she likes a good underdog story. Shocking, Becky Lynch, the ultimate underdog, likes an underdog story. But yeah, so she loves that part of it. And she's been, you know, football is a complicated game. You kind of, when you watch it your whole life, you sort of just take it for granted. But you got to explain lots of little rules, like why, what every whistle means and all that sort of stuff. So it's been a fun process educating her. But, you know, she does not care about European football at all. At soccer, she doesn't care. So she wears her blue and orange. Luckily, those are her favorite colors anyway. Lucked out in that one. So the wardrobe is easy. And then we're just working on getting a winning football team. That's the next step.
Someone just told me that she's in Happy Gilmore 2, which is coming
That's
out
correct.
This year. So did you hang around the set at all? Do you interact with Sandler or any of those folks over there during that process?
I mean, I went to set one of the days. She was there for a bit in October, I want to say. Yeah, pre-Halloween. We were there and she was shooting her scenes. I went to set for a day, but I mean, I'm just there to see her and kind of hang out. It was very cool to see Adam Sandler as Happy Gilmore. You know, I was obviously a Happy Gilmore fan many, many years ago. So to see him, Shooter McGavin, and some of the props and stuff like that is very cool to kind of like be in that space for a little bit of time. But yeah, it's cool, man. It's like she's got a nice little role in there. It was a lot of fun to see what she gets to do and watch her do her stuff. So I think that comes out sometime later this year. But yeah, big stuff for her.
Lawrence, you guessed right where I found out that information.
On Wikipedia?
I was reading Wikipedia.
Good.
One time, Seth, we had a guest on the show who commented that I was reading Wikipedia.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
Yeah. That's CM Punk who called me out for reading Wikipedia, and it still upsets me. You don't have a problem with me reading Wikipedia if I'm doing research, trying to have a good interview. That's okay, isn't it? Punk had a problem with it.
He's got a problem with everything. He's got a problem with everything. So that does not surprise me. But no, I don't have a problem with it. Where you get your information quickly. Let's go. You know what I mean? You go to Wikipedia.com. It's the first page that pops up when you do a Google search. Don't be naive, punk. Come on.
I was telling Spiegel that I think we should probably become a Seth Rollins show instead of a CM Punk show.
Lawrence wants to transition. He wants to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
That's obvious. One of us knows a thing or two about sports in Chicago, and the other guy pretends he does. Come on. Let's get it together here, guys.
I agree wholeheartedly. and since we were spending a little bit of time talking about Becky, I'm excited about the Star Trek thing because I'm a big Trekkie. So,
ooh, nice.
So that's super cool. What's that process been like?
I mean, she's just out there hustling, man. You know, she's just hustling. She's got a role in that upcoming Star Trek series. She got the Happy Gilmore thing. We just signed with a new management company. So things are rolling for us as we're running into 2025. But, I mean, she's awesome. So she's just getting a lot of great roles. The Star Trek thing was cool. We were up in – I think they shot up in Toronto – right before we shot Happy Gilmore, or she did. I didn't shoot nothing. We were up in Toronto. I was doing full baddie duty those months, which is the best. But she was awesome. She got to, you know, again, a great role in a great series. I think that's a Paramount Plus bit that will come out sometime, maybe later this year or next year. I'm not even sure on that either. But great experience, great people she got to work with, and a month in Toronto in the summer is not bad.
It seems like you've been over the last few years, like really setting yourself up for when you don't have to be a performer anymore. Like, was that the plan, or is it just kind of like, hey, you started to meet people and said, hey, I've got ideas that should be put on the screen or scripts that should be written? What drove this?
I mean, you just, you start to feel your age at some point, man. Can't do this forever. You know, I've been wrestling for over 20 years now, falling down a lot. It hurts more and more every single time I do it. And, you know, I'm not at the end yet, but I'm certainly closer to the end than the beginning. So you got to start looking at what you're going to do after that. And although retirement sounds nice and being able to hang out with my daughter all the time sounds nice, I imagine I'll want something for myself at some point in the future. And so you start looking at the things that you love, you know. I love wrestling, so I'd love to be a part of WWE in the future, whatever that looks like after I'm done in the ring. And then I love football. I love the Chicago Bears, and that's something I'd love to be a part of, whether it's sports media in general or Bears-specific media, Chicago sports-specific media. I don't know, but it's certainly something I love. I love sitting here with you guys talking about football. So if I get the opportunity to do that on a regular basis, that would be pretty sick.
All right, so what's the ideal job then? Bears play-by-play, Bears analyst, talk show host, Bears reporter? What's the gig if you could pick it?
You know, I said it the other day. I'll say it again. I want to be in the booth. You know, I want to be in the booth calling the Bears games on Sunday. I mean, not just the Bears games. I'd love to call all the games. Obviously, that's very ambitious. I know that's a small circle, but I'd love to dip my toe in that water. I think I'd be pretty good at it. I have a little bit of experience on a microphone. I know a thing or two about being a performer and entertainment. And so I understand it. I also, like I said, understand it's a difficult job and a difficult position to get yourself into. But I'd love to do it. That'd be a great after wrestling thing for me to try to get myself into. So I'd love to kick Tom Brady out of the booth and call the Bears.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because, Seth, we were having a conversation earlier this week where, look, I covered Greg Olsen. So I was in the locker room covering him when I was a reporter. And I'm amazed at how good he is. And he's been, I think, the best analyst in the game. And I'm a little heartbroken to hear him say, you know, that he is upset by the fact that he's been, you know, moved aside for Tom Brady. And I saw that you were kind of feeling similarly, that Greg is really good at his gig, and that's someone that people should strive to be like.
Yeah, I mean, Greg's fantastic. I mean, that job takes a lot of effort, and I think you see that week to week. This is Tom's first season in the booth. Obviously, if you're a major network, you're going to hear the name Tom Brady. And you're going to want to have that guy on your broadcast. That's one of the most synonymous with football names there is, if not all time, right? So you're going to want to have that guy in your booth. But you get Tom in there, but you've seen the improvement that he's made over the last 5 months, right? It's been very good. But you saw what Greg did for the years leading up to get to that point. And I'm with you. I was actually surprised. Greg Olsen was not someone that I pegged to be a color commentator on these Sunday games. So to be able to see what he's been able to accomplish over the years and the work that he's put in, it's very admirable. So, you know, but when you're competing with the GOAT, man, it's tough. You got to find your ways in, you know, it's going to be difficult. So we'll see how long Tom wants to do it. You know, it might be something that he dabbles in a little bit and then dips out of. Who knows? But Tom's Tom, man. You're not going to, it's going to be tough to beat him.
Hey, Seth Rollins is our guest here on Spiegel and Holmes. This is awesome on 670 The Score. I don't know if you heard this the other day when George McCaskey was answering questions on Ben Johnson hiring day. He was asked about Tom Brady in the booth, and he took a shot at a personal friend of the show. Listen to this for a second, Seth.
I don't care who they put on. When Joe Buck's on, I turn the sound down.
George is a meatball fan who turns the sound down when Joe Buck is doing the games. A sideswipe of Joe Buck out of nowhere. Just curious, what are your thoughts on Joe Buck as a play-by-play guy, Seth?
I love these guys, man. I think they're great. Buck and Aikman rock. I'm a fan. It's a difficult task, dude. Being in that booth is a hard job, and you're subject to wild amounts of scrutiny because you are on air live every week. You're bound to make mistakes. You're bound to garner a reputation for having favorites or not favorites. Maybe McCaskey's a little biased because Buck's always dunking on the Bears. But I think, you know, it is what it is. I think it's a really difficult job. I think Joe does a great job. I love all the teams. I mean, they're there for a reason. You know what I mean? Whether it's experience on the field or experience in the booth. And Buck's got experience in the booth, like in droves. So I love him, man. I think he's great.
Lawrence, you know why George doesn't like Buck? Because the Bears are always losing when Joe Buck is doing the game. Because they always lose to the Packers and such.
That's probably the biggest issue, but it's still like the sideswipe was just so unnecessary. by the way, Seth, you know who our next guest on the show is going to be?
I don't know why I would know that. Please enlighten me.
Olin Krutz.
Oh, yeah. Nice. There's a dude, man. There's a guy who knows his football, right?
Absolutely. He does our post-game show. And by the way, on Mondays, if you just want to hang out with us, we are more than welcome. After Bears games, we would love to have you just jump on in and give your thoughts on what's going on with Caleb and whatnot.
Mondays are tough. Monday.
Yeah, you usually have a job.
We got a little show that we do on Netflix every Monday called Raw.
Oh,
so,
yeah, it's a good point.
Mondays are tricky. But we'll see, man. Let's stay in touch and see what happens. I might be able to pop in for like 10, 15 minutes on Mondays and see what we can work out. That'd be fun, man. I've always got opinions, especially right after game day.
I know that's right. Seth, we really appreciate you jumping on with us. Thanks so much. Continued success, whether it's all the stuff on Netflix, the production company, you and Becky, just being good people and great parents. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time.
Thanks, boys. Take it easy. I appreciate you having me. Go Bears.
Thank you, Seth. That's awesome.
Seth freaking Rollins.
He ought to be the spokesperson for Wikipedia. You know, they ought to go and make a deal right now.
Notice when I said we should probably start moving towards being a Seth Rollins show.
Yeah, he's down.
You
with
agree
that.
Now?
Yeah, I think so. It's a pretty nice vibe right there.
I think we should just do that.
Do I need wrestling context to weigh in on that choice? I'm really just using our interview experience.
I mean, both of those guys are excellent wrestlers. Like, CM Punk is a technician in the ring. He is a master on the microphone. So is Seth Rollins.
Well, Seth apparently grew up a straight edge and like a fan of punk music and chose his name for Henry Rollins. So I didn't go there this time around. I'd like to go there in the future.
Punk is also straight edge.
Yes, he is.
That's his whole thing.
I remember when Danny asked him, hey, what are you drinking out of the Stanley Cup? After we told him in the meeting, like, hey, this guy's straight edge.
Yeah, like multiple times we told Danny, hey, he doesn't drink. He's like, oh, you putting some, what are you putting in the cup?
Not booze, Danny. But I mean, I'd love to talk Henry Rollins and Black Flag with Seth Rollins.
We can do all of that stuff.
I'm in.
Like it's. Oh, and Olin's ready to go too. Oh, this has been a joyous day that we have here. Joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Olin Krutz. You can download the Circa app today. What's up, O?
What's up, guys? How's it going, man?
Things are good. Seth Rollins just gave you the shout out a couple minutes ago.
Moving up the ladder. Moving up the ladder.
Yes, you are. You are moving up the ladder. But this has been an interesting couple of weeks with the Bears doing their hiring. What's your initial reaction to Ben Johnson and the staff that he's put together so far?
Obviously, you were excited about Ben Johnson. He was the guy that everybody wanted, right? And looking into him and his play calling and watching his film and just knowing that his creativity and what he did with the Lions offense, and obviously the first worry is, okay, how does he do that without one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, without a veteran quarterback and all that talent he had up there in Detroit? And then, you know, the biggest worry here for a while has been, like you guys know, with me, is the offensive line. And we still don't have an offensive line coach, so that worries you a little bit. But it is hard to find the right guy, to get the right guy in the building that matches what Coach Johnson wants to do. Obviously excited about Dennis Allen. We all know he's a very good defensive coordinator. Wherever he's gone as a defense coordinator, he's had success. He'll bring his system here with the guys he has on defense, and hopefully, you know, get that defense moving back in the right direction. You know, they were playing pretty good ball under Coach Eberflus, but at the end of the year, not great. The one thing you do worry about when you look at this offensive staff is how young they are, right? How young, you know, Antoine Randall isn't young. He's 45, but Doyle, the offense coordinator they hired, you know, Ben Johnson's young. So just kind of where is the experience coach? JT Barrett is their offense, their quarterback coach. Not a lot of quarterback experience guys coaching quarterbacks on their staff. Wonder if a senior assistant is somewhere in the work. So excited, but they're not done yet. The offense line, obviously the biggest question, waiting for the answers there.
Yeah, it's a great point about that possible extra quarterback voice, but it's an interesting thing. There's a lot of potential voices. Last year we saw that they decided to go offensive coordinator and quarterback coach as the only two people really to talk to Caleb. We got to the end of the year, right, Olin? And we found out that Thomas Brown and Caleb had barely even interacted. I wonder what the plan will be, because Ben Johnson is obviously going to be the guy to talk to Caleb, but there needs to be a second person who he can kind of bounce stuff off and sort of, you know, bitch about Ben if he needs to bitch about Ben. Mm-hmm. Like speak to that dynamic, if you could, from your experience and how many voices works and what the voices do, what they ought to do.
Well, they just give you answers to whatever question you have, right? It doesn't matter what profession you're in, to have a mentor, to have a guy who stands there and says, look, you're going to see this week. Why don't you try this with that footwork? Maybe this is comfortable. Just the things that Caleb needs to hear going through the process of becoming an NFL quarterback, which we all know is extremely important and extremely hard, especially here in Chicago, up there at Halas Hall. You guys name the franchise quarterback they have, and I'll wait. So that position is very important to develop. You know, we talked about Ben Johnson. If you look at his history, right, not a lot of times where he is coaching the quarterback, right? Tight end coach a lot through his career, assistant quarterback coach behind Zach Taylor over there at the Bengals. You know, at Detroit, they had Mark Brunell, and you got, everybody knows the name Mark Brunell. He played 19 seasons as an NFL quarterback. Do you guys think he had a few answers to some questions that golf might have had going through the week about studying defenses, how to attack certain looks, how to attack cover two, how to attack cover three, how do I notice man? So just that kind of stuff. When I look at this coach staff, you know, right from the get-go as an analyst, you're obviously looking for, okay, what are you worried about, right? What is a problem that could arise as the season goes on? And we all know Ben Johnson's going to have his hands tied now as the head coach at Chicago Bears. He will not be in every meeting. Doyle will be in the front. Antoine Randall will be a part of it. JT Barrett will be a part of it. So it just be interesting. Just things you look at when you look at this staff, you say, okay, where might the weaknesses be? Where might the problems arise? Those are one of the first things I see. But just to your question, Speegs, you need someone there who can help Caleb through the hard times, through the ups and downs. Right now, JT Barrett is there, and I know he played quarterback for a little while in the NFL. He played at Ohio State. He was helping coach there at Detroit, but not a lot, ton of experience developing that position, especially if you look through their staff, guys, developing a rookie quarterback.
Would it be worth it for the Bears to approach this from a roster standpoint? Oh, where change the quarterback room a little bit. Instead of it being Tyson Bagent as the primary backup, maybe there's a veteran that you could bring in that could maybe bridge that gap between the coaching staff's experience and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, why not? Why not get another voice in there, just a guy that Caleb can bounce his problems off of, right? But the guy who meshes well with Caleb, meshes well with Ben Johnson and what they're trying to say, because as Declan Doyle said in his press conference, we all need to speak the same language so it's not confusing, right? And then have, it seems to me like, I was laughing the other day, guys, because I was looking at the coach staff and I was thinking, man, all the things we heard about the Detroit Lions, right? We heard about Dan Campbell, biting kneecaps, Hank Fraley, a former center for the Philadelphia Eagles, tough offensive lineman. All these guys that have in that building, it seems like we got the bookworms to come here to Hallisaw to fix everything.
We do, Olin. We do. Declan Doyle's a bookworm. Yeah. Little bit nerdy. Well, but they haven't made the offensive line coach hire. But that's funny that you say that, because Dennis Allen is not a screamy, you know, feisty guy either. So,
he's an attacking presence, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you look at their staff, you say to yourself, who would the McCaskies hire? They got them in Hallisaw right now.
Oh, see, that's fascinating, because, you know, we've talked so much about needing a leader of men, and I'm glad to hear you vocal on this, because I don't know who the mix is just yet. I think, you know, Ben said that he believes in his leadership as based on conversations with Brunell, who you mentioned, and Chris Spielman. Spielman said, no, man, you got it. You're ready. You got it. But do they need an ass kicker? And should it be somebody at offensive line coach?
Well, here's a secret. You need it in an NFL building. You need more than one, right? And you just mentioned a few they have over there in Detroit. And that's my question when I look at Hallisaw right now, right? If we're building off the Detroit model, right, the Chris Spielman is around the building. Campbell's around the building. Hank Fraley, Brunell is in the – Aaron Glenn was in the building. They had a lot of guys. Antoine Randall, a guy we have here now, was in the building. They were all in there together. Right, to solve problems, to be an ass kicker like you're talking about, to get everything moving in the right direction. So you need more than one, right? And I'm just waiting to see how this staff all shakes out and which direction they go in to hire the other coaches that come into the building to help create the culture that they're trying to create there up at Hallisaw and get this thing turned around.
Yeah, that is the hope, that they can get this thing turned around. How much input do you expect when it comes to bringing players in, or the type of players that should be brought in, that Ben Johnson will have? Does the salary dictate that he's going to get the type of players that he's going to want from Ryan Poles?
I'm sure it will, Lawrence, right? And when you pay a guy that kind of money immediately, his voice carries some heavy weight there up at Hallisaw. And I'm sure him and his agents talked to the Chicago Bears about that. But you don't know until you get into that building what they're actually going to do for you to help you win football games. Are they going to listen? I'm sure Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson are getting to learn each other a little bit right now, right? And get to know what their vision of a football team. And, you know, again, we talked about going into the offseason, you know, why did you build it from the outside in? What made you think that offensive line was good enough going into the season, that your defensive line was good enough if Andrew Billings did get hurt? We heard Ben Johnson mention that, right? That defense really took a hit when Andrew Billings went out, something we all noticed throughout the season. But as far as that goes, just what do we have to do here to fix the problems that we've had with this football team? And it goes beyond, right? It goes beyond Coach Eberflus. It goes to Coach Nagy. It goes to Coach Fox. It goes to Trestman. It goes through the years, right? The history of Chicago Bears has been the problem. And you know, one thing you want to tell that building up there is, don't close your doors, right? Like, study your history, know what the problems have been, and try to fix them immediately. And that's what you worry about when you haven't seen an offensive line coach. That's what a guy like me worries about, and it's well deserved. He's a good football coach, but I worry about when your wide receiver coach is your assistant head coach. I just worry about, okay, again, it just seems like we're building from the outside in again.
Well, that is a worthwhile concern, and we need to ask you about the offensive line coach. As our resident offensive line expert, you played a lot more than I did in terms of intramural flag football. So who do you know these guys? Justin Fry, Ohio State offensive line coach. Dan Rauschar is another name that we heard as a possible offensive line coach. He's at Tulane. And then Notre Dame's Joe Rudolph. I don't know if that's a Harry Heist stand a disciple, if he's on the Harry tree. What do you know about those guys, if anything?
Well, first of all, Joe Rudolph isn't on the Harry tree, but you know that they are successful offensive line coaches. Rauschar here, a lot of good things about her. He's a good, really good football coach, a no-nonsense kind of guy, a guy who just wants to get in there, block people. I'm sure Dan Campbell is the guy who called Ben Johnson and said, this should be your guy. This should be your offensive line coach. This is the kind of guy you need coaching your offensive line, getting that thing moving in the right direction. There are a lot of good things about him. You know, obviously the other two guys, tremendous success this year in college football. Don't know much about them. We have to take a look at who they develop, what kind of offense they like to run. You know, you just bring an offensive line coach in and just ask them, man, what is your double team drills? Let me see your drills on film. What do you like on third and short? What do you like on fourth and one? What are your coaching points for the left and right tackle at the end of the game? Those are critical moments, right? Critical moments in football games when your offensive line has to rise up and win the game. We just saw that with the Buffalo Bills, right? They couldn't get a yard on fourth and one. These are things that you got to talk about. And then third and long, two-minute situations, that's when your tackles show up. They got to win football games. They got to execute pass pro. So you ask these guys those kind of questions, guys, in your room. You got to see if what they say ties in to what Ben Johnson likes. And we're seeing here, guys, that there wasn't one name. There wasn't one name that they had to get into that building. There wasn't one guy that they wanted. It was probably maybe Hank Fraley or maybe Forrester there in San Francisco. Both those guys are not leaving. So now we got to find an offensive line coach. Now we got to put someone in that building, help develop this offensive line that has been struggling, and they got to put talent in that room, and they got to create a lot of competition. Things we've been saying around here for years.
You're one of the only people that I hear talking about this part of player development, and it's the strength coach. Jim Arthur is still listed as the mm-hmm. Bears strength and conditioning coach, and I know that he was there when you were there. Are you okay mm-hmm. with that going forward? Are you looking forward to them maybe adding to that department? And if so, who might make sense and why?
So, you know, it's always hard when you know people and you start talking about jobs and stuff, right? So, obviously, a big fan of Jim Arthur. I knew him when I played. If you go on, you know, I'm quickly clicking on ChicagoBears.com because I forget, but I think they have like four guys with titles, right, that help a coach and help strength train. They have the Clyde Emmerich high performance guy, right? They have all kinds of people there. I think the guy was from the Chiefs. He's Ryan Poles' guy. So there's just a lot of people there, Lawrence, that help you develop football players. You have to make sure that people can see what is wrong with someone like, why can't Tevin Jenkins finish games, right? What happened to Andrew Billings-Peck? Why wasn't his chest tendon able to absorb force at that moment? These are things that Ben Johnson gets them in the room. He's going to want to talk to them about, right? Well, what are our standards, our strength standards for offensive linemen? What about ankle dorsiflexion? What about hip immobility? What about all these things that an offensive lineman needs to excel in the NFL? And you got to make sure you get those answers. To be honest with you, I don't really know what kind of strength program they're doing up there at Halisaw. You'd have to say that nothing has really worked so far in the last couple of years, right? So those are questions they got to answer. Who Ben Johnson likes, who he wants to bring with him, what are his answers for that part of his building in developing football players, which we all know is critical, right? Especially nowadays, guys, with the collective bargaining agreement. You're not in the building a lot. These coaches don't get a lot of time with these football players anymore. So they have to go outside to develop their game, to develop themselves, to work on the strength aspect of their football game, developing their body to play football in season. So very, very important, that position for Ben Johnson, those questions. I'm hoping Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson answered those questions before we're talking about it right now. But like you're saying, Lawrence, not a lot of movement on that side of the building. I, like you, have been waiting to hear what they're going to do going in that direction.
Oh, as always, man, we appreciate you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's a ton of great stuff from Olin Krutz, and there's lots of specifics about players and who fits and who doesn't that we'll need to talk with him about this offseason.
Absolutely, and a lot of people saying they should just hire Olin, which would make a lot of sense to do. They should just hire him.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of roles that he could be one of the strength and conditioning guys. He literally does it.
There's a fairly well-known former secondary guy who lost a coaching job but might be about to get another, and it got Lawrence Holmes thinking and giggling. We'll bring you into that next on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score.
Spiegel & Holmes Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Blitz coming. And D'Angelo Hall snatches it away. And Hall will go the distance. My, oh my.
He had no chance of completing that pass.
Third interception for D'Angelo Hall.
You're going to see that D'Angelo Hall breaks across his face, but Johnny Knox has got to stay on the move. You can't when there's a route that's contested, you can't just then stop on the route, because that's what happens when you do. Deep ball. D'Angelo Hall with his fourth interception of the game. You know, Jay Cutler wants to take a shot, but there's no double move to get D'Angelo Hall to jump it.
Excellent work by Tanny, as per usual. Highlight courtesy of Fox. It wasn't just four interceptions in a game. It was four interceptions in a half.
And then it was what he said after. That was the thing. To cement it in our brains forever. He said he knew that Jay was going to give it to him.
Yeah.
He knew that Jay Cutler was going to give him the ball. And he laughed. He laughed at our quarterback. And we all had to face the possibility that we might have a lemon at quarterback. And history tells us Cutler wasn't a lemon in full, but he was going to put the ball in harm's way every damn week.
And Jay was the type of person, too, where vengeful would be a good word for him as a quarterback. Like, if he knew that D'Angelo Hall was getting him, he'd go after him to try and get some get back.
Yeah.
And that's what happened the entire game. It didn't matter if it was Hester or Knox. Jay was throwing it over there.
Yeah, he was.
And D'Angelo Hall was like, cool.
Yeah, Jay got all stubborn. You're absolutely right. Jay got stubborn. He's like, I can still fit it in there. Not like, oh, I didn't that time. Okay. But now I can still fit it in there.
Well, he always thought that he could fit the ball. Because he did have, like, if you could build a quarterback, it would look like Jay Cutler. The problem is
not the face.
Well, Jay's a good looking man.
Yeah, but he's got
punchable face.
He's got jerk face. I said it the morning after his first game against the Packers as a Bear. I said Jay's gonna have a hard time because he has a case of jerk face, and he.
I know the guy's not perfect. I know the guy's a jerk face at times.
Oh yeah,
but that doesn't bother me.
Good for you, Doug.
Doug is the best.
Like who you
miss
like.
Doug all the time.
But the jerk face was a problem.
D'Angelo Hall is now going to go interview for the job in with the 49ers.
As the defensive backs coach. You saw earlier today that he got let go as the assistant defensive backs coach in Carolina. And you're like, man, D'Angelo Hall can't keep a job. But it turns out
he might be getting a new job, a better job.
They allowed him to break free so he could go interview for. I wouldn't have picked him as a coach. I wouldn't have pegged that as a coach. Like, he seemed to be somebody who enjoyed the life as much as the football. And the coach has to enjoy the football as much as the life, doesn't he?
He does. And this was D'Angelo on with Peanut talking about Jay Cutler.
I remember that the game with Cutler, and I think we were just sitting there like, why in the hell is this dude still throwing the ball to D. Hall?
I played Jay Cutler probably 2 years prior to that when I was in Oakland, right? That half a year I played in Oakland. He was in Denver. One of his top receivers was Eddie Royal, VTech guy. I didn't play at Tech with Eddie, but I knew all about Eddie. I knew Eddie was a really good receiver. But because we're Oakland, all we played was man. So Mike Shanahan got us, you know, running all over the place. Like, he's got all type of motions. And, like, we're in straight man. So I'm yo-yo motion. I'm running back and forth. And so they killing us. Eddie probably had, I don't know, 8-9 catches. So I'm sure Jay Cutler probably like, ooh, D. Hall coming to Chicago. I lit him up when I was with Denver, right? So he just kept coming to the well.
The funny thing about that is I remember being on the sideline and everyone on defense was like, he made the Pro Bowl off this game right here.
Yeah.
He going to Pro Bowl off this game right here. Like, it's a wrap. He got one of the three corner spots already is gone. So just, damn, now I got to work. And I had two forced fumbles that game. I thought I was having a good damn game. Hey.
He did make the Pro Bowl that year.
Of course he did.
That was D'Angelo Hall on with Charles Peanut Tillman on his podcast. Let's talk a little Super Bowl. My cousin, Kevin, is going to join us to talk about this. He's not just my cousin. He covers the Chiefs.
So he can touch on Chiefs hate as it relates to Jordan Bulls hate as well.
And he's from Chicago, so we could ask him about, you know, bad Chicago teams. Kevin Holmes will join us next here on The Score.